Anyway, there's something really important this morning that I believe we can learn from it. So let's pray, and then we'll launch into this morning's message. Father, we love you. We thank you for the opportunity that you've given us, Father. We pray now over this word. We pray, Father, that the anointing of the Spirit of God would be upon us, Lord, that you would open our hearts to receive, Father. This morning, Father, we desire something real, something, Father God, that is from you. And so, Lord, I pray through the power of your Spirit, Lord, that you'll take this word and you'll cause it to impact us, Lord. And Father, that we will ultimately be changed, Father, because we were here this morning in your presence. We bless you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So Genesis chapter 22, and let's just begin reading in verse number 1. It said, "Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him," he said, "Abraham?" And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled a donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself a lamb for the burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But an angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horn. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. This morning, I kind of even hate to share with you the reason why I'm preaching this sermon. But I'm going to get to that in a minute. I think. How many of you would agree that our society, this society that we live in, the basis for so many decisions that are made in this society, decisions that are small, decisions that are big, so many of those decisions are made predominantly on feelings or emotions? Folks, I got to tell you something. I've just got a lot of things going on in me right now, and this is kind of one of these sermons that comes from my pet peeve. You know, whenever a politician makes a statement, generally that statement is the background from that statement is a whole lot of polls that were taken. They said, you know, well, how's America polling? What does America want me to say? And so they decide based on how they feel America wants them to speak, they make a decision based on it. Are you following what I'm saying? Some of the most important choices that people make in their lifetime is being made on whether or not it feels good. Come on. For example, people are saying, well, you know, the marriage that I'm in right now, it's really not making me happy, so I'm going to get a divorce. I mean, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. Folks, let me just explain something to you. There's been a few times in my life that my marriage hadn't made me happy either. But that's not a reason for divorce. You know, I like this car. I know I shouldn't buy it because I really can't afford it, but I really like it. I really want it. Are you seeing how oftentimes we make decisions based on our emotions? We make decisions based on how we feel. You know, I mean, man, this happens all the time. I'm going to sleep with that person right there. I'm not married, but I'm going to sleep with her. I'm going to sleep with him because it feels right. It feels right. I mean, folks, the other day I was listening to the television, and you know, this message had been brewing in me for a while. I'd made a few notes here and there, but one of the things that came across the television is this. This woman was saying this: I feel like it is a woman's right to choose. And I just went, no, it's not. It's not. A woman's right to choose whether or not that baby lives or dies in her womb. It is not. It doesn't make any difference how you feel. It is not her right. Come on. I feel like that we ought to give homosexual couples the right to be married. I feel like that. I've heard that come from people's mouths before. And this morning, y'all are kind of sitting there going, man, pastor's really mad this morning. No, I'm just dealing with an issue that I believe that has just permeated the world that we live in. It's just permeated the world. People are making decisions every day, big decisions, small decisions, based on how they feel, what their emotions are at the moment. And I got to be real honest with you, folks. I believe that same mentality has even crept into the church, where people do or don't do things based on whether or not they feel like doing them. Folks, I want to just tell you something. There was a lot of people that just gave everything they had to pull off this youth camp this week. I mean, they're wore out. Whenever they get there, they are just slap wore out. They didn't do it because they feel like it. They did it because there is a kingdom that needs to be furthered. There is lives that need to be changed. There is ministry that needs to go forth. If they would have done everything that they did because they felt like it, they'd be home underneath an air conditioner. Come on. I mean, you know, okay, now hang on. I'm probably going to make some of y'all mad. I mean, in the church today, even to the point where people leave a church and find another church, and all they're looking for is a church that just makes them feel better. Come on. You know, pastor just don't make me feel good. That's not my job. That's not my job. Let me tell you whose job it is for you to feel better. It's your job. Because you can be happy doing anything, man. Happiness is not a project that you're working on. Happiness comes from the inside of you. You can be cleaning out the sewer line and be happy. You can be smelly too, but you can be happy. Just said, man, I'm cleaning this dude out, but I belong to Jesus. Praise God. And if I die right now, I'm going to be in his arms. Hallelujah. Woo, hold your nose. Come on. But people literally, man, they come and they go, this church just doesn't make me feel good. It's not about feelings. It's where God wants you at, in Jesus' name. I mean, I've heard the testimony of people coming and saying, look, pastor, I believe the Lord has sent me to this specific church, and it's just a dead church, and I don't have anything in common. The people there are just nuts. But I believe he sent me there because he wants me to pray. He wants me to believe. He wants me there so that I can influence people that are around me. And I'm going, man, oh man. They go to some place that just is just dead, but they're believing God has sent them. They can't operate on their feelings. And all of us in this church know that making right choices in the heat of the moment is hard. It's hard. I mean, man, whenever those decisions have to be made, it's hard. And I'm not going to stand up here today and say that emotions and feelings are of the devil, because they're not, man. God gives us emotions. A while ago, we were singing, man, and all of a sudden, I began to have an emotional state. Something just began to rise up inside of me, man, and I was just loving on Jesus. And it was good. It felt good. And it wasn't of the devil, it was of God. And we need to enjoy those emotions because we are emotional beings. But emotions, they do so much for us as human beings. They enrich us. And so don't be scared of them. But having said that, we are not to be governed by our feelings. We are to be people of principle. Principled people. That's what the church should be. Somebody comes up and says, "How do you feel about it?" You should say, "It doesn't make any difference how I feel about it. This is what the Bible says." We should draw our principles out of this book that God has given us. Our lives should be completely governed by everything this book says, not by how we feel about it at any given point. Because this is the thing. The principles that lie within the pages of this book, they do not change. They never will change. If America embraces every kind of debauchery that could possibly be embraced, and we govern it to death, we say everything's legal in America. You can marry your brother, you can marry your sister, you can marry your mother if you want to. We'll make it legal. You can marry your dog, for heaven's sake. I'm going to tell you that even though the United States of America may do that, God's word will never, ever change. And so thus we got to put our feet on this book and we got to say, this is what governs my life. This is what I make my decisions based on, is this book. Because this is what I know. Okay, are you guys with me? Principles don't change, but emotions do. Emotions change. I've been there before. Whenever one minute I've been crazy and the next minute I've been somber. Emotions change. And so we meet up with Abraham, and we know the story behind Abraham. Isaac is a child of promise. I mean, God has given Abraham and Sarah one of the most incredible gifts you could possibly imagine. I mean, in Isaac, that is the child of promise. The Messiah is going to be born through that man. Are you following me? I mean, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. Isaac's growing up. He's a young man. And you can imagine what it would be like to be growing up in Isaac's house. Because this is what I know. As parents, man, we're so young and we're so dumb. But then by the time we get to be grandparents, we've learned a thing or two. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And plus, we're worried about getting to heaven, so we're nicer. Come on. And so Abraham and Sarah have this child in their old age, literally. And so like he's growing up in his parents' house, but I imagine that Isaac was amongst like grandparent-type parents. Are you there with me? You know, I mean, man, everything they had, they were pouring it into this kid. I mean, Isaac had them wrapped around his little finger. And I'm not saying that Isaac was a brat or anything like that, but I'm just saying that, man, he had to be the apple of his parents' eyes. Are you following me? I mean, man, it was there. And so we meet up with Abraham, and he's experienced this fulfillment of this long, long, long awaited promise. Him and Sarah, they've finally given Isaac, as was promised by God. Abraham's love for Isaac is grown with each passing day. And so under these circumstances, we fall right in the middle of the story. God chooses to test the principles of his friend. This is a tough test. I've taken some easy tests in my life where it just was a snap getting through them. I can remember whenever I went into the ministry, I had this enormous test. I mean, all they gave you was the Bible. That's all you could have. And I think it had about 400 questions on it. It took me all day to answer all the questions on it. I actually passed. That's why I'm here today. New ministers that are coming up, they give them, you know, like four questions and they're multiple choice. Pastor Nathan told me what he had to go through, and I just cringed. I said, "Wait, whoa, hold on a minute. Things have changed since I was there." Abraham is being tested. God is testing his friend. How many of y'all know that Abraham was God's friend? It says so in Isaiah chapter 41. God had a friend and his name was Abraham, but yet God was testing him. And so this is it. Would Abraham still choose to act on his principles, or would he choose to act on his feelings? What would you have done in this situation? I mean, seriously, put yourself in the shoes of Father Abraham and think about what it was that God was asking him to do. So, would Abraham rise? Would he act on the principles, or would he act on his emotions? Would he act on his feelings? The first thing we see with Abraham, and this is the first two verses, is this: the principle of trust. How many of y'all know that you have got to have trust if you're going to act on the principles of God? You got to trust that they're going to work. Can I just tell you something? I've acted on my emotions way too many times, and I've always messed up whenever I acted on my emotions. I don't believe there's one time that I can look back in my history and say, man, my emotions were right. I'll just tell you this story real quick, man. I about had a heart attack this week. I was out at camp, got there a little bit early. I was setting up the chapel, getting ready for the service. And what I need to tell you is we've killed two snakes in the chapel building. We killed one last year. We killed another one this year. And so you got to know I was feeling snaky. It was my job because the chapel hadn't been used all afternoon. I went in there to open the windows and to check for snakes because that would be really bad. In the middle of chapel service, here comes a snake slithering across the floor. It would probably ruin the mood. You know what I'm saying? Last night we had a mouse running around on the platform. The kids were like going crazy. But now I know why there were snakes in the chapel. But nevertheless, they'd killed a snake the day before, and I'm kind of climbing over all the instruments. The chapel platform's kind of small, and I went to open a window over at the side, and you know, man, I'm looking everywhere. I'm looking for snakes, and I stepped on a hula hoop that was laying on the floor that was filled with little BBs or something in it. So I went, Kah! I'm telling you, I had a runaway. I mean, I had a runaway. My emotion said, it is a snake that you've just stepped on, and it's rattling, so you're going to die. I told the kids that night, I said, I was thankful for two things. I said, I was thankful, first of all, that it wasn't a snake, that it was just a hula hoop. Secondly, I was thankful that I was all by myself in the chapel. Because I know that there was a scream that came out of me that was about like a little girl. I'm telling you, whenever you trust in your emotions, you are going to trust in something that'll let you down. But nevertheless, Abraham here, he has the principle of trust. And it's really interesting that the Bible says that God was testing Abraham. This is something that he said, listen, I want to see how my friend reacts. Whenever he's faced with something that he literally has to stand on his principles, or he has to stand on his emotions. Even though Abraham had done so many things already that had proven himself to God. He was faithful. Abraham was faithful up until this point. God still was stretching him. God still was molding him. So imagine God comes to you and he asks you to give back to him one prized possession that you had waited so long for. Just kind of stand there in that place for a moment. Take your son. Come on now. He's not asking for your car. He's not asking for some precious little trinket that you have at your house. He's asking you for your son. And some of you are sitting there going, I'd give him. I'd give him right now. I'll give him both of my sons. No, this is a little different. God says, I want your son. I want your only son. Yes, I want Isaac. I want Isaac, which the Bible tells us that Abraham loved him so much. Are you there? I want you to go to the land of Moriah. I want you to sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. Man, you got to have trust. Are you following this story? You've got to have trust. There was nothing reasonable. There was nothing logical about this request except that it was coming from God. Man, how many of you are like me and you like things to make sense? I do. I love things to make sense. I want to tell you something. If you want everything to make sense, then don't ever become a Christian. Because God, He says things every once in a while, just doesn't make any sense. Let me tell you what He says. And you know, this is something that Mark Albert's going to get into whenever we begin to go through the Crown Financial. And by the way, man, that is an amazing class. Get involved in it. That class will teach you how to manage your finances the way God wants you to manage your finances. And I will tell you this, if you'll do it the way God says, you will be blessed because of it. And not only will you be blessed, but you'll be able to bless others because of it. So, I like things to make sense. I do. I like things to be logical. Abraham probably was in the same boat as I was in. Likes it to make sense. The Bible says, if you want something, give something away. If you want to have, you have to give. Now see, the world says, if you want to have something, you got to hang on to what you have. But the Bible says, if you want something, give and give and give and give, and then you're going to have something. Come on. It just doesn't make any sense. Giving of your finances in the offering plate whenever it comes by, it just doesn't make any sense. But God says, listen, if you will do that, I will bless you, pressed down, shaken together, running over will I give into your bosom. So here's Abraham, and it doesn't make any sense except that it's coming from God. These principles that are in this book, they come from Him. And you and I got to say, listen, it doesn't make any sense to me, but God said. But God said, it's easy. So in Abraham's eyes, that was enough. No matter what was asked for, that was enough. It just came from God. So thus, that's what we're going to do. There was a trust there that God knew what He was doing. Even though Abraham couldn't have understood why, he said, God, you know what you're doing. How many of you all know that God knows what He's doing? Come on. God knows what He is doing. So imagine God asks you to give back to Him that thing you love the most. What would you say to Him? I mean, we're trying to spend a couple of minutes in Abraham's shoes. Okay, let me rephrase that. Abraham was probably wearing sandals, of which I do not wear. I'm okay with you wearing sandals, but I just don't want people seeing my naked feet. So we're in Abraham's sandals, and all of a sudden he says, I want the most precious thing you have. Give it to me. Now, I'm just going to be human with you this morning. Because a lot of times people think, well, he's a pastor. He's just non-human. He's just right up there with Jesus. That's not true. We're just folks. I would have probably said no. Mm-mm. Ex-nay. I said, God, listen, I'll give you a couple. I'll tell you what, two burnt offerings, a couple of rams, but not my son. Folks, I love my kids. I love my kids. And there's been times whenever I wanted to pinch their head off, but nevertheless, I love my kids. Come on. And I'm just being real here. I'm standing in Abraham's shoes, and I'm saying that my decision probably would have come from the emotional side of who I am. But Abraham here, that's not what happened. See, this is kind of where our emotions and our principles would come into a conflict with one another. They would kind of clash. Because I'm here thinking, man, God, you've got a purpose in this. I know you do. But man, that kid, I love him. I'm not going to go up there and sacrifice. Are you with me? That's where our emotions and our principles, they clash. We know what we want to do in the flesh. But principles, we should trust God. And we should know that He knows better than us. See, one of my problems is this. And I've been a counselor to God for many, many years. I've given God some good counsel over the years. Come on, none of you should be sitting there as arrogant as you're sitting there. Because you know you've done it too. I've counseled God on numerous occasions. I've said, now God, if I were you, let me tell you some things I'd do. Yep, fire right there. That would be a good place to send some fire. Send the fire right now, Lord. and burn them up because they are a pain in my hunkarukas. Our flesh speaks, but will we go back and ultimately put our feet on the sovereign God's wonderful and marvelous word and say, I trust in you? It's easy to say. It's easy to say because I've done this before. I've said, I trust God. I trust God with everything. But sometimes it's easier to do. Without reservation, we have to be people that trust God's plans. His plans will always come to pass precisely when and how He intends for them to. If God can hold the universe in place, and see, I still don't know how we're floating out there. Come on. Because what I've learned is heavy objects fall. And the earth is heavy. Come on. I'm on the earth, so I know it's heavy. But if God can hold this whole universe in place, if he can hold the planets and the sun and keep them in rotation, and they do it perfectly every time, if He can do that, then He can certainly hold our lives together. Just our lives. Our little old bitty lives here on planet Earth. He can hold them together. But more than that, He has a greater purpose that oftentimes we can't see. You see, that's what I'm always looking for. I'm saying, God, I don't know why you're doing this, but I'm standing on your principles anyway, because I know that you have a greater purpose in mind. Doesn't make any sense to me, but you're the one that said it, so I'm going to do it. God can be trusted. He can be trusted with our families. He can be trusted with our lives. He can be trusted with our hearts. The principle of trust will always be your best choice. I'm standing with your principles, God. Not my emotions, not the way I feel. I trust you. Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Psalm 34:8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who trust Him. So we've got that principle of trust going on. God, I've got to trust you. But there's another one. There's the principle of obedience. Because how many of you all know that generally whenever you start to trust Him, the next thing He's going to call you to do is obey. Now, saying that you trust God with everything is only part of the equation. The very next thing that you're going to have to do is you're going to have to act on that trust. It was hard for me this week to leave my wife alone at home. She was insistent. No, she said, I don't want anybody to stay with me. I'll be all right. But for hours at a time, I had to leave. Because I felt like God wanted me to preach this camp. We could have brought somebody in very easily to do it. But I felt like it was me and my whole family was out there. You follow me? But I said, God, I have to trust you with my wife. See, you can say that real easy. But I have to be honest with you. This has been one of the most horrible weeks she's had in a long time. She was sicker this week than she has been in many weeks. And I'm thinking myself, as I'm driving out the driveway, I'm thinking, man, I should be staying home with her. See, because it gets hard whenever you say, I trust you, God. And then all of a sudden He says, okay, if you trust me, then do what I've called you to do. And it requires you to put South Skeena in your rearview mirror. The next thing He's going to ask you to do once you trust Him is to follow it up with an act of obedience. The test doesn't say Abraham went away for a few months and prayed about it. Doesn't say that. The text doesn't say that he went away and asked some advice from his friends. Come on. It just says that the next morning, come on, the next morning Abraham got up early. He saddled his donkey and he took his two servants with him along with his son Isaac. Imagine having to go home that night and explain to Sarah what God wanted him to do. I want to tell you something. I know he had to have chained Sarah to a chair somewhere. I mean, think about it, Mom. Your husband comes in and says, the child of promise, Isaac. Isaac is over on the couch playing video games. He's not even listening to a word you're saying. And you say, tomorrow I got to take him out on Mount Moriah and I have to sacrifice him as a burnt offering to the Lord. You know, I think Sarah, if she would have been serving dinner about that time, she would have dropped the whole bowl of mashed potatoes on the ground. What did I just hear you say, Abraham? Come on. I imagine there could have even been a little bit of this conversation. I don't feel like you should do that. Come on, there's that word again. I don't know, maybe Abraham and Sarah, they were so tight with the Lord. I just don't know how it all played out, but I can tell you if it was at my house, my wife would be saying, take that one for sure. He saddled up his donkey, he took his two servants, he took his son, he explained it to Sarah. There was nothing else for Abraham to do other than obey as soon as possible. No matter how difficult that it might have been, it was for him to obey now, to trust God and to obey God. God wanted to see if Abraham would keep his principles. Not moved by emotion, not moved by feelings, but saying, Abraham, you are a man of principles. Act on the principles that you have. Everybody's heard talks cheap, right? You know, basically what that means is without actions, our words mean very little. And this is where principle and obedience is tested. So are we actually ready to go through with it? That's the question. Are we ready to actually go through with what God calls us to do, no matter how difficult it might be? I can remember early on in my ministry career, one of the things that I really desired God to use me in was the gifts of the Spirit. And I really had a desire. I said, God, I just really want to be used in the gifts of the Spirit to edify the body of Christ. That's what it's for. And I can remember one time I was visiting a church and I was sitting up on the platform. And this was a church I didn't know anybody in except for the pastor. I mean, nobody. And the Holy Spirit speaks to me and he says, you see that guy sitting out there in that yellow shirt? And I said, mm-hmm. He said, I want you to go up to him, tell him if he'll pay his tithes, I'll bless him. I said, what if he's a deacon? I said, Lord, I really don't want to get myself in hot water here, you know. He said, I want you to go up to him. I want you to tell him if he'll pay his tithes, I'll bless him. And so, man, I'm telling you, through the worship service, I'm squirming. I'm doing everything I possibly can. I'm trying to forget about what it was I heard God say to me. The pastor calls for people to come to the front. Everybody's up here worshiping. And here this guy comes up. I mean, he's literally about 6 feet from me. Without actions, our words mean very little. I kept saying, God, I want you to use me. I want you to use me. I want you to use me. Come on. And finally, I said, okay, I'm going to do it. And I got down off the platform and with this guy in this yellow shirt. And I said, listen, man, I think the Lord is speaking to me a word for you. I said, you know, God really wants to bless your finances. That's what I told him. I'm such a chicken. So the second I said it, he just began to weep. And after the service was over with, the pastor said, what'd you tell him? And I said, man, God wants to bless his mind. Oh, he said, I'm so glad you spoke to him about that. He said, because he came from another church that didn't believe in tithing. And he's been wrestling back and forth about, should I tithe, should I not tithe? And I said, JD, you should have told him what God said. Talk is cheap, talk is cheap. Without actions, words mean very little. And so are we really actually ready to go through with it, no matter how difficult it might be? And again, motions would tempt us to do what is easy. Come on. Because I took the easy way out. I took the coward's path. Oh, don't look at me like that so condescendingly. You would have probably said the same thing as well. Probably said, man, I don't want to get in trouble, man, because that tithing issue can be a real hot button. Come on. Motions would tempt us to take the easy way out. But you may tell you what basically the easy way is. The easy way is the selfish way. It really is. It's the selfish way. the selfish way. Yeah, you know, a few years ago, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my daughter about going to Africa. I mean, she's just a baby. Well, she's more than a baby. She's graduated high school already, but I'm thinking, man, Lord, give her another 12 or 15 or 60 years to grow before she has to go to Africa. And this thing just began to get stronger and stronger in her, and all of a sudden she begins to communicate with a missionary in Africa, and they said, yeah, you know, come on over. And I thought to myself, come on over? You mean by yourself? You fly to Africa by yourself? Oh, my goodness. We got right up to the day we took her over to Charlotte to the airport, and you know, there was a lot of emotions in me, because that was my daughter. That was my daughter. It wasn't yours. I'd have put yours on the plane, lickety-split. See you later. This is my daughter. She's going by herself to Africa, folks. She's going to Kenya. And I love the missionaries that she's going to be with, but I tell you, I did not trust them. I did not trust them as much as I needed to trust them with my daughter's life. Come on. I mean, they'd already told me about all these harrowing situations that they got into and all the various things that had happened to them on the ministry field. And I'm thinking, my Jesus, I'm sending my daughter over there. I'm at the airport, and I'm telling you, I was tempted to just run across that little rope line and grab her and just drag her back to the car and say, you are not going. No, you're not. Your father's speaking. Get in the car. I don't care if you've already checked your luggage. Let it go to Africa. You're staying here with me. But see, me and the Holy Spirit already began to have some real deep conversations about this. And you know what the Holy Spirit assured me? He says, listen, I can take better care of her than you can. I said, yeah. Okay, yeah, right. That's true. And I remember that day whenever I left her at the airport. There was deep emotion in me. But I knew that I had to trust him. I knew I had to obey, because her life was destined to be a missionary over there with missionaries that are serving people and blessing people, ministering life into a very dark place. So without wavering, we've got to be people who respond in obedience, regardless of our emotions, regardless of our reason, regardless of our logic. We've got to be people who act in obedience, because acting in obedience is how we put legs on our belief. And it's the only way that we can see God truly at work in our lives, folks. This is what we do. We trust Him and then we obey Him. In 1 Samuel 15, it says, obedience is far better than sacrifice. Listening to Him is much better than offering the fat of the rams. In Philippians 2, it says, and in human form, He obediently humbled Himself even further by dying a criminal's death on the cross. And so here's Abraham. He's acting in obedience. He says, man, I trust God. I don't understand this whole thing, but I trust Him. And now I'm going to trust Him and obey Him. He packs up and he goes. Abraham didn't only have to trust in the fact that God knew what he was doing, but he immediately obeyed, because God deserves our obedience. But Abraham had one more thing that was really a plus for him. Abraham had faith. You see, Abraham shows up in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11. You got to understand, he is the father of our faith. In children's church, we used to sing a song, Father Abraham had many sons have Father Abraham, and I am one of them. You know what we used to sing about Abraham? Because Abraham is the father of our faith. So we not only have to have the principle of trust and the principle of obedience, but also the principle of faith. His faith led him to believe that God would have some purpose in doing all of this, and that it would also end well. God would be good on His promise. I like that. That's what faith does. God will be good on His promise. He's always been good on His promises in the past. Is there one time in the life and times of J.D. Watson that God has not been good on his promise? The answer is no. God has always come through, even in those times where I thought he didn't come through, where I thought he couldn't come through, where I thought he wouldn't come through. God is always faithful to his promises. And so Abraham was fully ready to sacrifice his son. And this is what I believe. I mean, a lot of people think that Abraham went up on top of that mountain, tied him up, put him on top of the wood, so on and so forth, and he knew all the time he was not going to sacrifice it. But I'll tell you this, I believe Abraham was ready to take the life of his son. I believe that. I don't believe this story would ever made it in the Bible if it wasn't. Abraham went up there, hey, I'm not going to really have to do this. I'm not really going to have to do this. No, I'm not going to have to do this. If he believed that, he would have probably stayed home. Come on. He went up there and his intentions were to sacrifice his own son. I believe that Abraham in faith, somehow or another, knew that God was going to provide a sacrifice, as he had provided him a son. So imagine your son asking the question to you, looking up into your eyes, those little eyes of Isaac looking up, and he says, hey, Dad, we got the wood, we got the fire, and where's the sacrificial lamb? And your dad looks at you and goes, I'll tell you later. Because I imagine if he'd have said, it's you, Isaac, Isaac would have said, Mama, and took off. But if you think to yourself, what an incredible lesson for his son. Abraham is doing what God has asked him to do. So it's this, will we trust in God's wisdom? That's where the line comes in our own lives. Are we going to be people who trust in God's wisdom? Will we obey God's direction? Will we have faith to believe in God's plans? Will we do it? How many of us have had such faith to believe the goodness of God, even at the point of sacrificing everything? Just got an email from a couple who are going up to Dearborn, Michigan. Missionaries to the Muslim population in Dearborn, Michigan. One of the biggest Muslim populations in the United States of America. And they just sent me an email that they've sold their house in North Carolina and they're moving to Dearborn, taking their whole family up there to be missionary to the Muslims. Half of America today says we write off all Muslims because they're not worth anything. That's where ISIS and Al-Qaeda and everything comes from. But their family sees great value in the souls that are represented by each person that's in Dearborn, Michigan. And they're believing to start an outreach there that's going to reach thousands and thousands of people for the kingdom of God. And I'll be honest with you, they've put it all on the line. They've put it all on the line. Sacrificing everything to go be a light in the darkness that exists in the religion of Islam. The principle of faith is tested whenever we actually lay it on the line. We don't know how it's going to work out, but God will always be faithful. And that's what we can count on. Always be faithful. You see, it's going to be your faith that's going to carry you through while you're being obedient. While you're being obedient. I've come to the place in my wife, with my wife's health, that the only thing that I can do is trust him. That's it right now. That's all I can do. All I can do is just trust God. Just trust God. Just trust God. But in the middle of that, my faith is what's going to carry me through. My faith. I believe God is a healer. I believe that his book is full of places where he says, I am the God that healeth thee. It is by your stripes I am healed, Father. Come on. And it's our faith that's going to carry us through any one of these circumstances. It's not our emotions. If it would have been our emotions, folks, we'd have given up a long time ago. We'd have thrown in the towel. Our faith is going to carry us through. So in the process of Abraham doing this with his son, it was his faith in God that gave him the strength to go ahead and complete the task. Emotions could have gotten Abraham in a lot of trouble. His emotions could have gotten the best of him. Have you ever heard that terminology? Boy, your temper really got the best of you. Come on. Folks, our emotions are powerful. And they can really influence us whenever we're making decisions. But the Holy Spirit speaks to all of us in this room this morning. We're not people of emotion. We're people of principle. Amen? So whenever situations arise like this in our life, our faith, not our emotions, that's where we're going to have the strength to get through it. With a whole heart, you and I got to believe. With a whole heart, you and I got to believe. In faith that God has our best interests in mind. Can I just share something with you quickly? Sometimes it doesn't feel like He's got our best interests in mind. But you know there's a key word there. Sometimes it doesn't feel like He's got our best interests in mind. But He does. We must also believe in faith that He will always come through on His promises. I'm going to hold on till I cannot hold on anymore. And that'll be whenever I breathe my last breath. And I don't need to hold on after that because I'll be in His presence. Come on. I'm going to hold on to these promises. I'm going to take a hold of these principles. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it says, this is a true saying. If we die with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure hardship, we will reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will deny us. If we are unfaithful, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. God is faithful. And so I'll just be true with every one of you in this room. I have been challenged in my heart as of late, whether I have built my life on emotions or whether I have built my life on biblical principles. So often we make those decisions in the heat of the moment instead of taking a few minutes to choose based on principles of trust, principles of obedience, principles of faith, saying, Lord Jesus, I'm doing it Your way. Not the way I feel, but Your way. So Jared, if you'll come and help me close this morning, I got to tell you, of all the examples in the Bible I could have picked, Abraham is one that I think was faced with an enormous situation. I just really can't even get it in my head how big it was that God asked him to sacrifice his own son. But even a greater example than that was Jesus Christ. Because honestly, He's the perfect example of what it means to live the kind of life that we've been talking about. Life based on principles. I don't do it because I feel like it. I do it because God said to. Jesus Christ, we all think that He was someone who just automatically knew all the things that He would have had to have known as God. But I got to tell you, He learned about Him being the Messiah through the Word of God. You see, He was handicapped whenever He came to this earth. He came as a man. He was fully God, but He was fully man. He learned that He had to die on the cross for the salvation of humanity through this Word. He learned it through the Word. And so He had to trust the same Word that you and I trust in today. The only guarantee that He had that His Father, on the third day after He was dead, that was going to raise Him out of the grave, the only guarantee that He had was He had read it in this book. Come on. He said, you can destroy this temple, but on the third day it'll be raised up. Come on, Jesus, He knew it because He knew the Word of God. He's the perfect example. He went to the cross and He walked in obedience. He walked in faith to the Father's Word. I will raise you up, son. I will exalt you to the highest place of exaltation. And I will bring glory through you to my own self. Because of what you're giving on the cross now every tribe, every tongue, every nation will be affected by your blood that will be spilled out. There will be men and women who come from every part of the four corners of this globe. They will come as my children, as my family, but they will come through you, Jesus. Jesus gave us the definition of what it means to live by principle. So what tests has God brought into your life? Because it says here he was testing his friend. He was testing Abraham. What test has he brought into your life where he's challenging you to either live by principle or to live by emotions? Our society says, oh, just go ahead and live by emotions. Live by how you feel. And God is saying, no, live by my principles. We are people who are very blessed. We are very fortunate. But that doesn't mean that God is not still going to stretch us. He's going to test us. We're never going to reach perfection on this side of heaven. It's just not going to happen. Abraham, our father of faith, he wasn't perfect either. We read some mistakes he made. So God's always going to test us through circumstances that are all going to be part of our lives. And you and I are going to be governed by our often very, very volatile and ever-changing emotions. Or we're going to be people of principle. Let me tell you why it is I do what I do. Because God said it. Let me tell you why it is I believe what I believe. Because God said it. I do not believe it is a woman's right to choose. Do not believe that. Because God says differently. And the list goes on and on and on. And so this morning it's very simple in the way that we close. Are we basing our choices this morning on our feelings? Are we basing our choices on the Bible? Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you. We're very thankful for your word. And this morning, Lord, I know that this word goes out to all of us in this room as a challenge, Lord. Because it's so easy to get swept into the society, Lord, we live in. It's so easy, Father God, to make determinations about situations and things that are in our life based on our feelings, how we feel, our emotions. Father, this morning, you're calling us to a higher level than that, Lord. You're calling us to something that is greater than that. You're calling us to be people of principle. Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, I stand and I say, Lord, that I will be governed by the principles that are found within the pages of this book that you have given us. Lord, I right now, with every fiber of my being, I resist the temptation to make decisions in my life based on my feelings, based on my emotions, Lord. I want with all that is in me, Father God, to act upon every situation that I stand in, Father. I want to act upon them by what you have carved in my heart, Lord. What it says in your book. I want to be a person, Father God, that is driven forward in this life that I live by the principles that are in your Bible. Father, this morning I pray for everyone in this room, because Father, I know it's hard sometimes to stand for what's right, to not give in, Lord. There's pressures out there, Lord. There's situations, Father God, that it would be very easy, Father, to succumb to our emotions, how we feel at the moment. But, oh God, I pray, let us be people of principle. And we ask it and believe it this morning, Lord. Because, Father, you are a big God. And you are good all the time. And you have our best interests in mind. No matter what it is, Lord, that we're walking through at the moment, if we will hold out, hold on to those amazing principles, Father God. In the end, it will do us good, because that is your plan, that is your desire for us. In Jesus' name.